Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IDFC First Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan N. Shah from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Darwin. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q4 FY24 earnings conference call for IDFC First Bank. We have with us from the senior management, Mr. V. Vaidyanathan, Managing Director and CEO, along with the senior management team. So without further delay, I would now like to hand over the floor to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. This is Vaidyanathan here.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Sudhanshu Jain.
Good evening, everyone. This is Saptarshi Bapari.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. And between the three of us, we'll be able to take you through the key points about our bank and, more importantly, the outlook for the next few years. Now, when we look at the picture, we all know that India is well placed to becoming something like a $7 trillion economy by 2031 or 2030. And we know about 66% of India's economy is consumption, of which about 56% is. Hello? Yeah. Of which about 56% is private and 10% is government. Now, 60% of a $7 trillion economy will be something like a $4 trillion economy will be consumption. And we feel that we are extremely, extremely well placed to participate in this extra growth. And the second part is, of course, when we look at the we are looking at the numbers of India's credit today, it's close to about $2 trillion. And by any estimate, by 10 years, it should be something like $6 trillion. So a good part of India is yet to be built. So even though we may be a new bank and an early-stage bank, the big story for India's growth is yet to happen, and the big story for our bank is also yet to happen. Because all we've got to participate in the incremental story, and we will still have a big part to play there. So, for example, one key change that's going to happen when this credit book for the country grows from, say, $2 trillion to $6 trillion, the big change compared to the past is this $4 extra trillion, which is going to come in the next 10 years, is going to come significantly from retail, is going to come from micro-enterprises, medium enterprises, small enterprises, agriculture, rural India. This is one big area waiting to open up over the next 10 years. And therefore, this opens up a very big opportunity for us. Now, because something's an opportunity doesn't mean that we will get it. There's no natural there has to be a reason why we are why we will be best placed to get that opportunity. So today, I'll spend a few minutes with you just sharing with you how we feel about how we are placed for that opportunity. And then, of course, later in the conversation, we'll come back and discuss the financial results. I point this picture out over the next 5 years or so because we have completed exactly 5 years from the time the merger has happened. And therefore, it's a good time to just step back and talk about the next 5 years all over again, or say 5-10 years. Now, therefore, why is it that we are well placed? Now, one of the biggest things to be able to grow and participate in this new big growth that's coming up on all the sectors we talked about is basically deposits. We really feel that it's not today, not because we've been successful in deposits. We're not building the story around it today. From day one, that is in December of 2018 or March of 2019, we have been maintaining only one line that the bank has to really crack liabilities, has to crack deposits. If we solve for deposits, frankly, on the asset side, we really have a good machine, which is really tested now for 14 years We get a good NIM, we get a good margin, we make a return on equity of over 20% in that. Really, assets is not a problem. We'll talk about that in a moment. Let me come back to deposits. On the deposit side, you know, our deposits today is close to about, its total deposit is about 2 lakh crores. Out of that, about 6,000 crores is certificate of deposit. You take, you can say customer deposits is like 1,93,000 crores. Now, that is like not even 1% of the Indian banking system deposits, which is like 212 lakh crores. 1%. We are just 1%, just put it in context. Now, because we are one doesn't mean we're gonna grow. What is the reason again? The reason is that we have built a good brand. You know, brand attracts deposits. This is one really big achievement our bank has had over the last few years. The brand is seen, let me say, in the as a really high quality brand, seen as an institution. If it's seen as an institution, it automatically has some amount of, you know, people get a sense of safety, security, comfort about dealing with the brand. Second thing is that, as a bank, we have focused upon building really fantastic products. Now, you know, our ZOP banking is one way of expressing when we say that, you know, we mean to give customers, we don't want to touch the customer's pocket, you know, for this reason or that. You know, when we charge a lot of fees to customers, then it is always tempting for any bank to say, "Okay, I'm charging 2 rupees per, you know, for a particular transaction. Let me make it 2.5," and the bank books a lot of fee income. We charge zero, so there can be no temptation for product managers to, you know, there's no opportunity for in product managers to just touch it by this combination or that combination. It just, this option doesn't exist. Therefore, when we make fee income, we make it a truly clean way. We sell a particular product. We sell, for example, credit cards. We say, "Okay, put a photograph on the card and pay me a fee of 500 rupees." Or we sell a wealth management service and specifically charge customers fees for a particular service given. We are building it the clean way, and then that, you know, does give a strong feeling about the brand because, you know, while the customer is sleeping, not watching, we don't touch bank accounts by changing some terms here and there and all that. This is very, very fundamental. I must share with you know, the success of a deposit which, you know, all of you know our success deposits. I don't want to belabor this too much, but just want to leave one data point with you to drive it home. Our deposits, retail deposits was 10,400 crores in December of 2018. Now, today, that retail deposits alone, just leave everything else out, retail deposits alone is 151,000 crores. That's a growth of 141,000 crores in retail deposits in 5 years in this bank. Mind you, we were a new bank. Now, I look forward to more optimistically about our deposit growth for the next 5 years for a reason. If you think of, you know, large banks, like let me say, you know, the largest bank in the country, let me say, having maybe 40-45 lakh crores of deposits. These banks or many of the other large banks as well, they have a large deposit base, and they get, you know, deposits from two means. One is called ETB, existing to bank customers. Here, if you have a large deposit base of, say, 40 lakh crores, you credit interest to those customers straightaway of 5% in a year. You know, the same customer is bringing some more money, and then you are done. You're done with 7-8% growth just by existing customers. The second engine to fly on is new to bank customers, where you've got to bring customers from outside into a bank. Many of these banks straightaway get, you know, benefit of ETB. There are two engines. Our bank has been flying on one engine, which means we only, because we're a new bank, we only got new to bank. We did not have an existing base. Now, when we will wake up and say, "Now we only have 2 lakh crores," now these 2 lakh crores will give us some deposits anyway. Our engine two is, you know, so therefore our the reliance on NTB will come down, and therefore our ETB itself will start giving some deposits to us. This is one reason why, you know, gradually as we gather momentum, we'll have two engines to fly rather than one. You know, flying on one engine for the past 5 years has been more difficult. It, you know, subsequent years are going to be easier. So this is one reason that makes us very confident. Therefore, we have already put out a guidance that we will be this 1.5 lakh crore of retail, which is totally about 2 lakh crore of total money, 1,93,000 of retail of total deposits. We have guided that this will be 6 lakh crores in 5 years. Let me tell you pretty straight and honest that we don't see a risk to this at all. We believe this is it will be achieved, and we don't need to go crazy on interest rates and things like that. Just normal interest rate, what we're doing today, probably it can even drop it over time, but still this 6 lakh crores we feel is very achievable for the reason I described to you. The second thing that's going on is that if you see large institutions, they've been building the post, you know, the capabilities. They've been part of large ecosystem creation. Someone has cracked the entire broker market. Someone has cracked the entire, you know, NRI market. Someone has cracked some of these markets for 15, 20, 100 years or maybe for 40 years. In our case, these are still being built. For example, our current account business is still being built. Our ecosystems are coming along. But the good thing is that whether it is supply chain financing, whether it is, getting the accounts of the small retailers, merchants, traders, it's all hard work because you've got to build them brick by brick. But good news is that we are really doing very well in current accounts. Now it's coming along pretty well, gathering momentum. We are very confident that current account business will grow into the next 4-5 years. And again, once you crack, once you get deeply embedded into an ecosystem, then that machine, then fires for itself. So that's about deposits. The second part of the story I want to share with you is the fact that we are now a universal bank. Now this is point number two. First, I described assets liabilities to you. Second, I want to tell you universal bank. Now, universal bank, there is some, extra, let me say, stability of earnings across multiple lines of businesses in a universal bank. In our case now, we're not just, large, so to say, it's not a large retail bank. That's not the way we're thinking about ourselves also. So we have retail, SME, rural, of course. We also have corporate. We build fantastic solutions on trade now. We've got very good digital solutions, cash management. On wealth management, it's just been 5 years. We have our wealth management business now touched something like 16,000 crores, and it was like 1,600 crores 5 years ago. It's like 10 times growth in the last 4 years, not 5 years, the last 4 years. It's grown 10 times. It's like wealth management is just flying off the roof for us, off the charts for us. So there is something special about our products. In everything we put, we have something special. We just don't make regular products. And the rest is a brand. Brand takes it over, distribution takes it over, digitization, powers it up. So, second part, therefore, the universal bank, for example, wealth management, NRA banking, we're developing, making strong inroads, treasury solutions, all in all, universal bank. The third reason why we feel good for ourselves, again, we say that, the big opportunity is there, why should it come to us, or why should we be able to get it? We are embedding ourselves deeply in this customer-first theory. Now, we are not, trying to, chip a quick buck on this side or that side, all that I told you. And therefore, the product suits are putting together all customer friendly. Our people are trained to be very friendly to customers. We really take a dim view. People are found to be rude or, they write, stupid, circular mails to customers. If customer writes an email, we write back an email, with a holding message, not responding for 2 to 3 days. We kind of look at those practices and we say, look, this is bad. We keep improving every single day. We found that our access was not up to the mark. Then we opened out so many gates for customers to reach us, through the internet, the call center, on the website. Now we put to show our ways to reach us very prominently. So we're making every way for customers to reach us. We do want every way for customers to, we want to solve customers' issues in the first interaction. So those are things that I mean the customer friendly. Then fourth thing I'd say is that our customer, in terms of positive culture, we're trying to keep a positive work culture in the environment, in the bank and all that. Now, the fifth thing I'd say is on the loan side. Now, after all, we're raising money. Frankly, for us to raise money at 6.3% is like a dream. When we were running, the previous part of the NBFC, for us to get money at, either 9.5 looked like a deja vu. And suddenly at 6.5, we feel like we're swimming in oxygen all the time. It's just so fantastic to be able to raise, 50, 60,000 crores at 6.3%. We just feel just so much in the money. Just because the amount of deposits we're able to raise and just feel so, let me say, so easy or it feels so nice and you know makes our life job much easier. So third thing coming back to is the deposit. So oftentimes people think of our loan book and say, hey guys, listen, your you know NIM is 6.3. People scratch their head. How is it possible to have such low credit costs? This is a common problem that we face when we meet investors, you know, in investor calls. They spend 20 minutes on this one subject thing. How is it possible? You know, we have a reason for that. You know, end of the day, there is like 14 years, a long time for an NPA to stay 2% gross and 1% net in low credit cost. Like, that's a very long time. We explain this by cash flow, because we're a super specialist in cash flow financing. And I think, you know, time solves a lot of questions and one of them is cash flow. But there is one more reason that we are specialists in rural India. I want to bring this point out to you. Because end of the day, you know, rural India is so unserved. Let me just share with you that we put out our rural financing book in the bank. If you see the slides there, you'll find that the rural book is 24,000 crores. But really, in the balance book, what we call the rest of the portfolio, there is close to about 16,000 crores, which are not categorized in rural, but actually rural. Things like, you know, they've gone into loan against property or home loans, they've gone into that categorization. But if you classify them back in rural, that's another 16,000 crores, meaning that 16,000 crore rural home loan is shown as part of overall home loan. So if you strip them back and put rural, that's like 40,000 crores. But if you see the growth of the loan book of the last 5 years, the loan book has grown by 90,600 crores in the last 5 years. And 90,000 crores of loan book and 34,200 crores has grown in rural financing alone, which means 38% of our incremental book built in the last 5 years has gone in rural. Now, this has, you know, helped us meet I don't like to say birds with one stone. I don't like to say that someone can kill birds. But let me think of some of the metaphors. It's frankly a bad metaphor. So let me just think of some of the, let me say, let me solve two problems with one solution. So which is, what are the two? So one is, they're able to get good margins because the rural India products, for example, our products in rural India are JLG, of course. We do micro enterprise loans. We do micro housing loans. We do micro LAP. We do commercial vehicle. We do tractors. We do all that stuff. So we do KCC, we do two-wheeler, so we just started recently gold loan. So think of it, the product suite is large. So the benefit of starting a diversified portfolio in rural India are two things. One is, it gives us net interest margin, which is pretty good. It gives us to play in a market that is underserved, underpenetrated massively. You can just do enough and enough business and keep going forever, and it's not getting saturated at all. So that's one big benefit. We get margins. Number two problem we are solving is PSL. Now, when we started in March of 2019, we were short on PSL by a big margin, and we had about 75,000 crore of IDFC book. We had about 25,000 crore of Capital First book. That's about 1,04,000 crore. And believe it or not, we had 3,500 crores that we had placed in RLTF, which means that we were not able to meet our PSL requirements. And we were placing money in RLTF at some really ridiculous rate of some 3.5% locked money for 7-8 years and all that. Because we built a rural business so strongly, our RLTF outstanding, so we are now able to meet our own requirements and able to sell portfolio to the market. That's a surplus. And therefore, now we are making a bit of a profit by selling PSL certificates. And therefore, our RIDF bonds outstanding has come down from 3,500 crores to 926 crores. So that's why I told you that two big benefits we're getting, not one, which is, I told you, the better margin. And second, I told you we're solving PSL problem, which, by the way, is a big drag on the bank. The third problem we're solving for is also asset quality. Because somehow, for whatever reason, the rural people are that much more conscious, more sensible. They're not exactly supported by lawyers and all that stuff. They just pay the dues. And they just maybe just that much of God-fearing or whatever. They just credit performance fantastic. Our credit, our gross NP is not even 1.5, net is even not even 0.5. So, you know, it's behaving very well, and we monitor that closely. So let us say these are the three benefits that we're getting on that front. So the reasons why I told you therefore is that we have developed some, you know, why we said our start of the conversation in India opportunity is going to be very big. But more important than that, we are well placed because we have unique products on the asset side, which can give good margin at low credit cost. And so that's a very, very unique capability our bank has developed. Second, I told you the liability side. The last thing I want to say is that a bank has invested, you know, is investing on technology all the time. Frankly, technology investment, a lot of people say, okay, guys, I invested well. It's not about investment. That way, it's not about, you know, pumping money down technology. People can do stupid things in technology also. You can move a lot of things to cloud, and just if you move the whole architecture to cloud, you know, just, you know, as it is, without using the tools and technologies and well-integrated, you know, cloud, then it's as good as just keeping it on-prem, just scaling it more on infrastructure. Those are not really value-adding. We have developed some really fantastic, you know, capabilities of bringing our data lake together, single source of truth, a golden source of truth. We have migrated all our systems. Individual business units are no longer going and pinging the individual systems. They are now going into a single source of truth with the data lake. These are fundamental architecture capabilities the bank is building below the hood, which you can't see as an outside investor, but there are really very powerful things happening at the bank on the technology front. So that's, and then of course, if you have a strong stack of technology, of course, you can build the rest of the, you know, UI, UX, and then we're focusing on that. So last thing I would say is technology. And of course, finally, you know, to have BP profitable is a very big plus, because frankly, when we're posting losses, for, you know, 2019, 2020, you know, if you met depositors, of course, you know, I must say that people were still good to us and, you know, give us a lot of deposits, but you're still, you know, a little bit back against the wall when you're raising deposits, the bank is posting losses. So, so it was hard. And now, you know, 2 years of profit, last year 2,400 crores, this year 2,900 crores, when you're talking with, you know, that level of profitability, you know, people also feel more comfortable to raise deposits. Our employees feel that much more, you know, spring in the feet. And lastly, of course, ESG is become a big deal. We never focused as much on ESG before. In our business, we thought it was natural ESG. We were not looking at it with a frame, and we didn't study it so closely. But the more we're studying ESG now, we are finding, oh my God, we have done so much more. You know, for the elimination of plastic, making the offices green, elimination couriers, you know, moving over to email, you know, avoiding printouts, double set printing, avoid color printing, you know, the whole thing, it's a long list of things, but I can just say that we're working on it very seriously. But let me say it's an initiative last 2-3 years, and it's already beginning to show in our scores on the ESG front. So let me just say that these are important foundation blocks the bank is building. And at least if you ask me personally, I'm very bullish about our bank for the next 2 years. And for, you know, for this quarter's numbers, you may have seen it. I'm quite happy to, you know, open it up for any discussion.
Thank you.
So Sudhanshu had with him a bunch of notes, but I think since it's been 20 minutes since the call started, probably Sudhanshu, should we take Q&A or you want to
go to the Q&A? Yeah, we can directly jump into Q&A.
Or you want to make some brief comments?
Yeah, so maybe I'll just touch on some key numbers. As you would have noted, that now our balance sheet is almost touching 3 lakh crores. It expanded by 23.4% on a YOY basis. The growth is largely driven by a strong deposit franchise and a growth coming in from there. You would have noted even individually, the deposit book has also crossed 2 lakh crores, and so has the lending book. Customer deposit continues to be strong. You would have noted that it has grown by 42% on a YOY basis. Another area where we feel that we have done reasonably well is on the CASA front. If you see that we have been able to maintain the CASA ratio at about 46.5%. Even average CASA deposits for us has grown by 28% on a YOY basis. We continue to expand our footprint. We are now at 944 branches. We have almost opened about 135 branches during the current year. If you see on the high-cost legacy borrowings, we continue to repay those. That has come down sharply, almost by about 6,000 crores in the current year. There is a runoff which is scheduled for about 7,000 crores, which will happen into the next year as well. The incremental credit to deposit ratio has been 76% for us. So that has that's largely driven by a strong deposit which has been coming in. The cost of funds for the quarter has been stable, if you would see, at about 6.43%, largely stable over last two quarters. While the cost of deposits have slightly inched up by 7 basis points during the quarter, but some benefit came in because of the runoff of the high cost legacy borrowings. On the funded assets, the growth was strong at about 25% on a YOY basis. We have a very diversified business in a product segment. We have given quite a lot of details in the investor presentation, maybe that can be referred to. The infrastructure book, which is a rundown book now, is sub 1.5% of the total funded assets, and the book is only now about 2,800 crores. Credit cards, again, that's a relatively new business. We have already issued about 2.5 million credit cards, and the book is now at 5,500 crores. The card spends have been quite strong for us. It has increased by 58% on a YOY basis. Quickly touching upon asset quality, you would have seen that our gross NPA is now less than 2%. In fact, it's improved by 16 basis points during the current quarter. And the net NPA is also now down to 0.6%. With a sequential improvement of about 8 basis points. If we exclude the infrastructure book, which is a rundown book, in fact, the GNP is more like 1.55% and net NP is only 0.42%. We are maintaining a healthy PCR of 73% on the book if we exclude the rundown infra book. Similarly, on retail, the GNP is now down to 1.38% and the net NP is only 0.44%. The standard restructured book is now only 0.31% of the funded assets. Point to note here is that 95% of the book is secured in nature, and we are holding about 20% provision on this book. The SMA1 and the SMA2 book, also the retail book, is stable around 0.85%. And on the corporate side, this number is actually quite minimal. The gross slippages for the quarter were lower at 1347 crores compared to 1421 crores in the previous quarter. This is almost a reduction of about 39 basis points. Similarly, net slippages were down to 724 crores as compared to 866 crores for the previous quarter. And here also the reduction is about 16 basis points. Moving on quickly to profitability, the profit for the year is up by about 21%. At 2957 crores. In fact, we had slightly higher treasury gains in FY23 as compared to this year. And if we exclude that from both the years, then the growth in profit is actually 28%. Profit for the quarter was marginally up at 724 crores as against 716 crores in the previous quarter. Core operating profit was very strong. It grew by 31% and happy to report that it has now crossed 6,000 crores. The net interest income has grown by 30% on a YOY basis. The net interest margin on an AUM has improved by 31 basis points during the year. Fee income also had a tremendous growth that increased by about 40% on a YOY basis. And large part of this was retail-led, which you would have seen from the presentation that almost 93% is retail. Operating expenses increased by 33% on a YOY basis. The increase was, I would say, across employee expenses due to business volumes, due to branch expansions, increase in some tax expenses, and so on. Credit cost as a percentage of funded assets was at 1.32% for FY24. We saw some normalization during the course of the year, and this was around 1.5% for Q4 FY24. Moving on to the last section, which is capital adequacy. The capital adequacy stands at 16.11% for us, CET1 ratio at 13.36%. During the year, because RBI had increased certain risk weights, we had an impact about 100 basis points on the overall CapEx and about 82 basis points in CET1. LCR was strong at 118% at March end, and we continue to maintain healthy levels around LCR. With this, I have covered broad numbers for the quarter and for the year, and we can move to the Q&A.
Good. We have good 30 minutes, friends, for Q&A, so please make yourself comfortable. And feel free to ask us really anything you feel like at this stage.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Pritesh Pump from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Congrats on a very, very steady quarter. Two questions from my side. One is, as you mentioned about the deposit franchise being more now sustainable and can run on a two-engine side. So will it be possible to outline that if the cost, we should not incur the cost we were incurring earlier, given that the branch banking was a major cost center earlier? Can we see that inflection point from now on, that the cost, the OPEX ratios will start moving down?
Yes, of course. You should expect that from us.
So any targets, because our guidance does not include any, in next 5 years, any cost side type of guidance, but anything you can outline for next 2-3 years?
See, by end of this year, we expect the cost income ratio to be roughly flattish for the next 2 quarters. And Q3 and Q4, we see meaningful reduction. So like Q4-ish, so clearly we feel we'll be in a strong wicket. The reason is actually simple to understand. As all of you know, our credit card business will start moving to profitability by Q3, Q4, so we're bang on plan. If you remember, we had always said that by 25-ish, end-ish, it will start moving, and by 26, we'll make money. So that crucial inflection point is coming towards Q4 of this year. Did you put out product segment by segment cost information?
Yes.
Can you show that screen to me? So the for example, the credit card business, our cost income ratio in FY22 was 240%. In FY23, it's 164%. In FY24, it is 116%, a big drop. And by FY25, we expect it almost, you know, sub 100%. It'll come below 100%. So this is one reason why we expect the Q4 to look very good. Similarly, our cost income ratio on retail, rural, and SME business is running at 55% now for 2 years at a stretch. So it could marginally come down, but you know it's stable at 55. Should come down, of course, in due course. Our wholesale banking is running stable at like 33%. So therefore, the only drag was liabilities. So coming to your just to conclude that point, we feel that it's scale. Our cost income ratio should start turning down, but material, let me say, in Q4, Q3, Q4.
Sure, sir. Second question was on basically a lot of discussions around tech and how things are happening in the industry. Just a small question was that you have some of the products where you have leadership in, for example, FASTag, you have significant UPI volumes. How are we geared up to handle these kind of volumes? Because this seems to be a niggling issue in the industry.
Actually, our bank, let me just say that we've been, nobody can ever be too sure, first of all. Okay, this is an area we always watch for, and, you know, frankly, we can never be complacent. Let me say, we can never be too secure. Because we are conscious of the risks of the tech or not being invested in tech can play a role, we have been implementing, let me say, the latest technologies. Many of you call us a high-cost bank, and, you know, you call us names. But I can just say that it's well spent, that I can assure you. So we have invested in the best CRM system, in the best ticketing system, in the latest versions of the middleware. Our applications, let me say, the best of what India has to offer, because some of these things are, you know, they're industry standards. So, you know, applications are applications. We have built a really good engineering team. We do performance testing literally all the time of our engineering teams. We are building fantastic, I hope, I don't know if you, Pritesh, yourself have used it or maybe anybody else who can speak on this forum, and over 210 people are here. I can almost tell you that any one of you would have experienced the bank, experienced us, not just known our brand name, experienced us, I would say that you would say really good things about our app. Our app is really becoming fantastic. I'm scared to use the word fantastic for ourselves, but let me just say good. Let me just say that probably our app is really good, and we're developing. Its response time is really very good. Our uptime is fantastic, really, on almost all lines of business. So we have. Let me just say we invested wisely in technology. And as I said earlier, it's not about the money we spend. It's about how we use them. So we really spend a lot of time right at my level, my one-down level. We don't take, we try not to take any chances. And if we find any issues, then we take it very seriously. If anyone else flags an issue to us, we really jump, up and down to figure out how to solve it in the quickest possible time. Our board is very engaged. Our board also is, even at my level, I understand technology, my subordinates understand technology, my two down understands technology. Our board has a specialist of understand technology. We all put an effort after that.
Sir, got it, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Gao Jaishwam with Shontao. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations. Just want to understand on the deposit front. I mean, we've been doing a fantastic job in terms of, outgrowing everyone's deposits. But when I look at the, deposit per branch, that has shown a pretty good growth of, 14% in the fourth quarter, which is similar to, that 12-13% in the fourth quarter of last year. So I just want to understand, how should we think about branch level deposit growth going forward? When do you think we will actually outgrow the industry, right? Because the industry deposit growth is at 13-14%. So on a branch level, when do you think we will see ahead of industry deposit growth?
If you think in terms of vintage, we've just been 5 years. I reminded you earlier that our deposit in 2018 was 10,000 crores, which is, you think of it like a starting. So in that sense, we are new, okay? We're not like, So, but our deposit per branch is already running at 200 crores, just for information, Gao. 200 crores per branch today. So there is something very strong about the way we have built the capabilities of our employees. Of course, a lot of it has got to do with the digital, some has got to do with the culture. We're like crazy about customer service. We really get pretty, we take that. So I think got culture, service, tech, all that is coming along. So I'd say that we are now in terms of, we don't want to only depend on branches because we feel that's not efficient. In tech, you invest once, you can multiply minimum, you can give far better returns than investing in branches. So our incremental going in thesis in the next 5 years is that we don't need as many branches. We just don't need as many branches. We feel that our current tech is firing very well. So as many branches meaning that, if we grow to our current deposit base of say 2 lakh crores, we needed say 950 branches. It doesn't mean for to take the business to say 4 lakh crores, we need 1,800 branches, and to take to 6 lakh crores, we need 2,700 crore branches. Not like that. It's not needed anymore. For example, when we take our book from say currently 2 lakh crores to 6 lakh crores, we don't expect to add maybe 700 branches more or 600 more. But it's not 2,700 more. So the incremental throughput per branch for the bank is very good. I mean, this, what we're saying is that deposits will grow disproportionately more than the number of branches we will add. That we are very clear about.
Got it. That's good to hear and very clear. Do you mind, in your FY25, sorry, your next 5-year guidance, do you mind share with us what kind of assumption are we assuming in terms of, per branch deposit growth? Because I guess that affects our cost assumption as well, right? So to understand a bit more on that.
See, we have said, to be very specific, we have said that currently we have 900. we said we will get to 1,800 branches. That is 2x. That is 900 more for 4 lakh crores of deposits. Today we are 2 lakh crore. We are going to say we are going to add 4 lakh crore of deposits by adding just 900 crores more. So which means that our branch productivity is going to double on our incremental branches. That's briefly the way we are thinking about it. Frankly, we feel internally we are feeling very confident about this. There is in our senior management, if you were a fly on the wall, if you just walk across any branch and talk to, I really invite you, please, any the corner of many of you on this branch, please walk across any of our branch, talk to any of our branches and staff, befriend somebody whomever you want to know, and talk to them how the bank is doing. They will tell you how the bank is doing. The feeling is very, very nice within the bank.
Got it, sir. And last one is on the credit cost. How should we think about the credit cost going forward? Obviously, we are kind of normalizing back slowly, right, from a very depressed level, similar to the industry. So do you think this process continues slowly in the next year, or how should we think about this, sir?
See, credit cost is a direct benchmark of what happens, that the input parameters that flow into the, that become a credit cost, like how the check bounces are, collection efficiency, etc., that lead to it. Now, we are finding very stable performance on our books. We feel that our credit cost for the next year could be, currently is about 1.3. As it normalizes, we expect about 1.65 or so next year. But it'll be more, it's likely to be more, front-ended for a reason I'll describe later if we have time. But we feel Q3, Q4 credit cost to be, we expect to be quite low. And think of it like almost like a flat line also the next year. But think of it like a 1.65% next year.
Got it. And our fourth quarter credit cost per the auto calculation is one app also.
Didn't get that question, sorry.
Sorry, for the fourth quarter, what's the credit cost per your calculation? For your definition, what's the fourth quarter credit cost? For the full year is 1.3. Just wondering for the fourth quarter, what's that?
So your question was, what was it for the quarter? It is 1.5% for the quarter. And next year, we're guiding for 1.65%. Actually, we feel internally more like 1.6, but think of it like 1.65. So 1.5 for the quarter.
Got you, sir.
But what is, I just want to just flag one second. What we feel very, at least good about us within this, is that it's not that our yield is of the book is high or NIM is high. The fact that they're able to do that with low credit cost is a very unique capability. We really believe that. So, but your specific question and guidance, I've told you now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Vora from Premier Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so good evening all. I really thank you for the opportunity. And first of all, congratulations on the result. My question is largely on the cost to income ratio again. Although, we have come down from the levels 5 years ago, but I feel that we are still at a much higher level than the guidance shared during the merger, which was around 55%. Also, if you see the financial year 24 versus 23, on an annual basis, the cost to income has actually gone up rather than scaling down. And in the last year, we have made a significant investment for the BCCI sponsorship. So I just wanted to get a better understanding on what drove the higher levels for financial year 24.
Yeah, so if you see, cost to income has been, we agree that it has been stable during the current year. It has not improved that significantly. But if you see, in the previous year to that, we had an improvement about 500 basis points. As Vaidya said, that we expect cost to income to meaningfully come down starting H2 because of legacy liabilities sort of coming off, because of credit card moving towards profitability and many other factors. So we know this is a one key deliverable for us, and we expect to better on this front as we move along.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have want to flag one more point to you. Everything we're building in the bank, I understand many of you are concerned about the cost at the bank. That's right. The thing is that trend line is good. Of course, this year we didn't do a good job in the sense it just flattened out. Interest rates went up, and that kind of chewed a little into the margin. Otherwise, we could have done better. But still, having said that, let me just say that everything we're building the bank is thinking long. And this is super important to note. For example, there was no pressure for us to have launched credit cards. Well, we could have lived without credit cards and life would have been okay. But then, you know, we would have paid a price when we woke up in 2025, 26, 27, 28. When we would have started to launch a credit card business, we'd have to come back and be defensive, or, you know, we'll have to, the numbers would be going the other way around when it's supposed to be improving. So there was, we just launched so many lines of businesses, whether it is gold loans, whether it was, you know, Kisan credit card. We launched a prime home loan, which is also, by the way, a drag on the bank at this point of time. Is not making any money. It is just because the way, that's the way the long-term nature of these products are. For example, if you make a home loan, you book all the DSA payouts and, you know, cost evaluation, everything upfront today. The money will come when it comes over the life of the contract. So, but we are not holding back. We are building what we have to build, because otherwise the future will be difficult for us. So prime home loans we started, credit cards I gave the example, then education loans we started. We started commercial vehicles, we want to meet a PSL requirement. We are all negative products today. They are not making any money. In fact, they're negative. You know, we started cash management business, a lot of technology built that goes into it. We started trade finance solutions, we started a lot of builds for that. Forex solutions are building, negative drag on that. Gold loans we started, negative drag on that, losing money as of today. But it will not lose money forever, but it's just a build-up stage. We have 1,000 crores. KCC, I told you, farmer loans, tractor loans, wealth management, FastTag, Forex card. You can name the list of products we're launching one after the other inside the bank. They all lose money initially because everything needs a scale of time. So that's why we are confident that once they all start gaining, you know, momentum and they come out to the J curve, then you wake up in 26, 27, 20, 29, they'll all be throwing back cash.
Perfect. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakhar Sharma from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vidya and team, you know, congratulations on the performance. I just want to ask you on a couple of things. One, could you, you know, give some sense of, you know, the loan growth expectation, let's say how you're building up for the next year. And, you know, as the operating efficiencies start to play out, maybe credit costs start to normalize at a slightly higher level, you know, in a three-year view, what should we think of ROA, ROE terms? Thank you.
Yes, so Prakhar, maybe I'll answer that question. So loan growth has been 25% in this quarter. If you see, in fact, on a quarter-on-quarter, the growth is 6%. And within that, also in certain segments, we have slowed down, like consumer loans have slightly come off. Even digital loans has not grown in that proportion. So we feel that loan growth would be more around 22 to 23% into the next year. Moving on to the credit cost, As Raja guided, we should range around 1.65%. And certainly our endeavor on ROA would be to touch more closer to, I would say, 1.45-1.5% in the next 2 to 3 years.
So, and Prakhar, by the way, thank you for your research report on us. It's so detailed and in-depth. Wow. It's a great job. So thanks so much. It's not because you said good things about our share price, but just the quality of the report is something that we're super impressed with. Prakhar.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a plus.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, and congratulations on our strong performance. And really, the deposit progression is nothing less than outstanding, sir. So, hearty congrats on that.
Thank you.
So, I have two questions, sir. Like, first is on the LAP portfolio growth. So, after a gap of 4-5 quarters, we have seen a double-digit growth in the LAP portfolio. So, how are we looking at this? Has there been an improvement in the credit environment? And this used to be one of the main businesses, and now seeing this traction this quarter. So, anything more to read into this? And second is on the liquidity coverage ratio. Because while the deposit growth has been very strong, but still there has been a slight drop in the LCR on a sequential basis. So what has really caused that?
let's take one by one. See, lab, frankly, whether it's lab or any other business, it's just in our hands. We can book as much as we want. This is a, you know, we are a small player. We have fantastic tech capabilities on being able to originate loans with good asset quality. So, well, if you need to do more, we don't have to relax any credit norm. We just have to just open some more locations and we're in. So really, the current lab is growing 20, but we are moderating more with the amount of amount we want to grow, keeping the amount of capital in mind. We should be, you know, thinking of raising capital now. So we want to make our capital run longer. So we are more conscious about how much we want to grow the balance sheet because in a given year, and that's why we guide for this 22% which Sudhanshu said. So the short point is therefore that we don't have any problem. You don't have to worry about growth for our side. It's in our hands in that sense. With quality, not to worry. Now, LCR, frankly, it's marginal. I don't think there's any specific, if we keep growing the way we're growing deposits, we are very clear the next year deposits also will grow. We'll keep our LCR, certainly no higher than 80%. Don't you?
No, LCR.
Not LCR, I mean the CD ratio.
Yeah, CD ratio.
But CD ratio next year, for example?
Yeah, should be around 75
to 80. So we are so confident, Nitin, that on a deposit story, that next year also, I mean, by the way, it's been 5 years going, our CD ratio, our incremental CD ratio is really very good. And we believe even next year we can keep it, under 80%. And on LCR maybe.
So Nitin, on LCR we would continue to maintain around 115% levels, and so we feel quite comfortable. We don't see it as a challenge.
Whether 115, 120, somewhere in the zone will always be there.
Yeah, so some liquidity got deployed during the current quarter, but we feel quite comfortable.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, nothing to worry.
Yeah, thanks.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, just continuing from the previous question on LCR. Sir, on the previous four quarters, if you look at LCR, has been more than 120%, but in this quarter for 4Q, annual average, we are giving 114. So is there some reclassification of deposits that's happened? That is what I wanted to understand. That is one. Second, sir, thanks for the elaborate discussion on the rural business that we are building. So if you could just help us understand what will be the rural ROE that we are making right now. And second, see, if you look at the last 5 years, it has been good from a monsoons perspective. So in case the macro turns adverse in that, are we building in some safeguard buffers on that portfolio, or what could be thought process around that?
Why don't you take the LCR question, I'll come for the rest.
Yeah, so as I mentioned to Nitin that, of course, we were maintaining slightly higher LCR into the previous quarter. This quarter, we have come down to about 114% on an average. One is we did not want it to play the rate game. It's quite intensive, as you know, right, in the last quarter. So we feel that even into the future quarters, we should be able to maintain LCR comfortably around 115%. So it's more, I would say, a quarter phenomena where slightly some normalization has happened. But we feel quite comfortable on
this. Like we answered the previous speaker, Nitin, this is like not business as usual. There is like lots of liquidity. In fact, if you do a smell check in the market, and I really request you to do that, you find out, will you ever find a bank ever in any corporate fighting for deposits in a large corporate? And there are a lot of, these names that go around during year end. Somebody wanted to pay 500 crores, 800 crores, 1,000 crores. We just genuinely say thank you to them, saying that, look, we're just not there in this. We just don't need it. And that's because our retail flow is so strong, that from the branches and everywhere, so strong, we just don't need it. So I assure you, please check, there is nobody will ever tell you that our bank is out in the market for the bulk deposits. It's not there. So coming back to the point, so therefore we're good. Now, on the rural front,
follow up on that, because investment is also gone up by almost 19% Q1Q. So that should have typically prompted an uptick in LCR. The liquidity has actually increased. So that's where there was some confusion.
No, but we clarified that. That currently it's a lot of liquidity. Think of the 1-2% here or there. It's not not, let me just say it's not material amount. Okay. Now, if you come back to the rural question, now, well, the rural economy, see, it's not about rural economy, urban economy. I think people just kind of give stamps and tags like these. We don't like these kind of classifications. They are not, this is not one homogeneous rural market or homogeneous urban market. Aisa kuch nahi hota. So the thing is that within rural market, there are just so many markets. For example, if you're giving a home loan, you know, a loan against property, or you're doing a good cash flow assessed models, you know, then they all have their, then they perform well. And you have to treat them over cycles. And we have seen, you know, 14 years. Let me tell you what is 14 years so that you just get a, you get to appreciate that better. Every loan, every month is a cohort to track over a life cycle. 14 years means, just think about it. That's the number of cycles we have gone through, not just 14 year cycles. Every year within that 14 years is a cycle. So we've been through just so many cycles. We understand this economy very, very deeply, whether it is a rural housing or a rural, you know, home loan or a or urban home loan or urban rural market or micro enterprise loans. Our JLG business was happening even before the merger happened. You know, merger happened in 2018, but, you know, my predecessor, Dr. Rajiv Lal, thankfully, had acquired a JLG company called, I think, Grama Vidyal, and that turned out to be a phenomenal company for us. And, you know, I often thank him, heart of hearts, man. Thank God he gave me good franchise there. So we've been tracking this very, very closely. So the main thing is systems and domain knowledge. You know, systems and domain knowledge. Systems are systems. You know, there's no substitute for good systems, but good systems plus domain knowledge. Don't worry. I mean, if there's anything to call out, we'll call it out also. We will be totally honest, transparent. As you know, you've been with us for many years, hopefully many of you are. We've never hidden problems. If there's an odd issue somewhere here, then just point it out. Nothing as of now.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So, so this entire breakup in terms of the cost to income, if you can highlight in terms of the proportion, how much would be getting into the credit cards and the liability of the total cost of 16,000 crores, just trying to see in terms of how much of leverage can it bring about in terms of the overall cost to income as and when it normalizes.
Well, I don't know the number offhand.
Yes, Kunal, we are not calling out that number, but when they talked about credit cards, we certainly see the trajectory improving there. And on liabilities also, why we saw some uptick during the year, because of we have put out more branches and so on. But we expect to sort of improve on these numbers. Our incomes from insurance, selling of third-party goods are improving. We have still some ground to cover there. So I feel that with a combination of better cross-sell, distribution of asset products from branches, insurance products and so on, we should continue to get an uptick on the fee income, as well as our costs should normalize on the liability front into the next year.
And Kunal, let me add one more point to you, and thank you to everyone hearing this call. See, we talked of a long-term picture, like 5-8 years. We said, look, India will grow like that, and we believe we will do well in that for the reasons I described earlier. But let me just give you a short-term view, like a one-year view, so that you know what to expect from us. Now, what our view is that the next couple of quarters, we should expect, maybe next quarter, we should expect flattish kind of performance from us on a earnings front, or somewhere in the zone. And maybe, you know, Q2 should see some improvement, but Q3 should see good improvement, and Q4 should see strong improvement. So it's going to be very back-ended this year, and I'll describe that reason also to you, and if you understand the reason, then you feel comfortable. So that's why I mean to give you a short-term guidance. Now, it goes like this, that, you know, in the first quarter, of course, we'll get salary increments and all that stuff, which of course happens to everybody. Then second thing is that, but it does, you know, does cause a temporary, slight touchdown to the numbers. The second thing, but more important, you know, I called out last time, but I'll say it again to you, about FLDG. So we are a good player in the digital market, and there are certain partners with which we do business. Now, we were earlier in a model whereby when we did a digital loan, the income, the full income, maybe 17-18% came to us, and the full credit cost came to us because there was no FLDG. Now, recently, you know, the FLDG is permitted. Now, what did we do? It is a good sense thing in the interest of the bank in the longer run to move to a model where the partner absorbs the credit cost. But well, it works both ways so that the partner wants the income today. So what we are doing is that this quarter onwards, and you know, that happened as far as the quarter that will come up in the next two quarters, you will see us pay out to that partner. But so therefore our OpEx will go up in Q1. But what will happen is that when Q3, Q4, these are by the short-term loans, they're 6-month loans kind of stuff. So when Q3, Q4, when the credit cost will come on those loans, that credit cost will be incurred by the partner, not by us. Therefore, you will see that there will be so the credit cost in Q3, Q4 will be quite low and benign, and you will suddenly see a PAT shooting up in that time or going up in that time, is probably a better word. And, you know, Q1, you will see our, you know, cost because they're going to pay the partner, it's going. So this is one reason, this FLDG. Second thing, you know, liabilities. We'll be paying off some 7,000 crores of liabilities at 9% in Q1, Q2. So you will see by the time Q4 comes, you will see that benefit will come to us. Credit cards, of course, Sudhanshu said and all that. So you should expect, you know, a moderate performance from us, you know, next quarter. But, and I mean, on the profitability front, and then take off during the third quarter. So please factor this in your mind. And, you know, many people have put up research reports on us, and we'll hope not to disappoint you on that. On the overall number, you know, I saw Prakhar's report recently. We'll try not to, you know, not to disappoint you. And we'll be somewhere there, hopefully. The other thing is that, so that's on the, on this front, on how the FLDG and the story sort of plays out. The other thing is that, like I told you know, we are not binding ourselves to exactly what the markets are expecting, et cetera. I'm just making it very plain to you. We are building for the long run. If something is important, we will invest. We will just go and just do it, and like we've been doing. And it's important to be disciplined. We don't waste one penny, but we are building for the long run. We'll build, you know, we'll build what we have to build. But I can only tell you the long-term result of our approach will be very, very good because we'll come on a very good platform.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks. This is very helpful. And secondly, in terms of the core PPOP, so you clearly articulated the trajectory over next four quarters. But looking at maybe what you are targeting 1.4% ROA with almost like say 1.65% credit cost. So ideally, when we look at the PPOP from 2.25-2.3%, what are the levers which can take it up further, say, from here on? Will it be more of cost to income or maybe still there is some, so obviously some borrowing repayment will help in terms of the NIM trajectory. But besides that, any other levers available because the income is also upwards of 2%, margins are also at this level. So will it be largely cost to income?
Largely, let's say cost to income, but also, you know, see, frankly, when people look at cost to income, they often miss a point that cost income is a derivative item. It is not it's not an input item. Okay?
Yes, cost to assets, yeah, broadly, if I were to look at cost to assets.
Yeah, which is where we look at it. I think these are all the way to look at it is that, are the incremental unit economics strong? If you look at how our PPOP has grown and, you know, over the last 5 years, that's only a few, no? On the 40% increase of PPOP average. So there it is. I'm going to pull out a particular page where I talk to you. You know, you see our loan book has grown at a compounded rate of 13% over the last 5 years. 13%. So for a normal bank, what should your PPOP be growing by? You take any bank. Typically, the PPOP grows at a rate of, usually, the PPOP grows at the rate of book. But you know what is unique about our bank? Our PPOP has been growing at, sorry, our loan book is growing by 13%, but PPOP is growing by 40%. How is the magic possible? It's possible because only incremental book is more profitable than the past.
Yeah, it's more retail, yeah. Retail driving the overall.
It's profitable. It must be throwing more money to the P&L. Otherwise, how would book grow by even this year, the latest quarter that went by, the latest year that went by, even in the period of interest rates went up, everything happened, our PPOP has grown up by 31%. Loan book grew by 25%. How did this magic happen?
Oh.
Yeah, think about it. 25% of the loan book growth this year, the operating profit is gone by 31%. So this kind of a story is clearly telling you, this, I'm telling you latest quarter. So this is something that's telling you that the fundamentals of the bank are really very strong. We have to be just patient, not get in a hurry and not become a please all people, stick to discipline and build this book patiently over the next 2-3 years. And this is how this magic happens. If you're stable about it, 1 or 2 years, we'll find our ROA will probably be stable. Your R1.1 will probably still be 1.1 next year because it still is a fund, we'll build it. But when you play the same stroke over and over again and this joy of the fact that, PPOP grows 30 and the book grows 25 or 22 or 23. When that jaw continues to open, you do that year after year into 25, into 26, into 27, into 28. Suddenly you say, wow, this bank is now, is just fantastic. I mean, the numbers will look very good. But I am really requesting all of you to be calm about this and patient about this because we are building to a plan. We are sharing our plan. And you can read the incremental economics, you can talk to our people, you can do all your research. I am quite confident that this will, this will smell right to you.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram Subramanian from Marshall Wace. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi,
sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to check on the growth guidances. So you had mentioned 22-23% advances growth with an incremental LDR of somewhere close to 80%. So should we assume a 28-30% deposit growth for FY25? And do you think that is internally achievable? Just some comments on that, please.
Yes, yes, easily achievable.
Okay, okay. Another question.
Above 30%, we grow deposits by slightly above 30% and achieve those numbers.
See, one key thing, Vikram, to note, and it's a good question, by the way, is that our bank is doing two jobs today. Okay, this is a very important note. We are funding our own growth. And we're repaying, so that's one item. And second is already repaying, also paying, the legacy liabilities, which is, I mean, the bonds and all that. So Sudhanshu, if cumulatively of the bonds for the last 5 years, how much have you paid off?
29,000.
So 29,000 crores we paid off. How did we get 21,000 crores plus grow our loan book? So we are having to do two jobs today. So after end of this year, in 25, we would not have to, most of the legacy liabilities will be paid off. So when you wake up in 25, 26, at that time, we'll only need to fund our growth. We don't even need a growth, the deposit growth going at, this pace. So this is a very important point, actually. So therefore, the pressure on the bank to raise deposits also come down. Let me say, certainly after 27, 28, 28, 29, we have only one job, just fund our growth. We don't have to pay up any past dues. So, in fact, bank will breathe easy. Maybe, God knows, depending on the environment at that time, we may even bring down rates. We give it a good probability that we will do that. And that's how we play it. And that could actually add to the margins at that point of time or profitability and all that. So.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for that. So that was clear and good to know. Just another question. Sorry to harp on this liquidity coverage ratio. I guess a couple of other participants asked as well. Just not able to reconcile this almost 7 percentage point fall in LCR despite deposits increasing 9-10% QOQ, and liquidity on the balance sheet has also increased. So Are there any change in the buckets? Not able to understand that.
Why don't we just, you know, two, three people to ask this question, why don't we just come back to you on this? But, you know, Sudhanshu's answered it a couple of times, I've had it a couple of times. So so maybe we're not able to add from this one, but is there anything else you want to add, Sudhanshu?
No, no, as I said, I'm saying 115% itself is a very strong number. And there would be some short-term, so, because it, LCR is generally repayments within 1 month, right? So there were some borrowings which sort of came up for repayment. As I said, I did not. We did not want to play the rate game. We could have mobilized some more funding to sort of keep the LCRs at higher levels. But we chose to maintain LCR at around 115%, and we feel that we'll be comfortably able to maintain it even going forward. So RBI requirement is 100%. So I'm saying we also have to optimize our liquidity. So I feel that if you're maintaining around 115%, that should be broadly okay. And believe me that our deposits are granular. If you go and see the LCR disclosure, deposits from retail customers, from small businesses, those ratios are quite steady. While the overall customer deposits have grown by 41%, these segments have also grown, I would say, at least at that or slightly better. So you should not get too much worried on the LCR front.
And I'd say one more thing, you know, to go back to the previous question that you asked to one prior participant. The thing is that why is it growing deposit 40%? I told you we're having the growth need as well as the past liabilities. So we have right now about maybe 12,000-13,000 crores of the legacy liabilities.
12,000 crores.
And also there are some more liabilities like bonds, etc., which were not legacy, but we borrowed after the merger happened. That's like close to 15,000 crores. Okay. So this is because it was just available at a very low rate during COVID, so we took it. Now, during the next couple of years, we plan to even pay that off by deposits, not the borrowing. So therefore, you will see us grow deposits strongly over the next 2 years and for paying off both legacy borrowings. I mean, borrowings is borrowings, by the way. I mean, the bonds and, you know, loans. So we'll pay that off with deposits. Next year also we'll do that, both the legacy as well as this one. So we'll pay off everything. And then we'll be a deposit-funded bank. So we have a, so this is the reason why for next couple of years you'll see us raising it. After that, like I said earlier, that we'll slow down the growth of deposits. And then life will be relatively easy. By the time engine 1 will also be firing, engine 2 will be firing because existing stock also deposits will be like something like 4 lakh crores. Well, 4 lakhs will give us probably about 40,000 crores just like that from existing, maybe not 40, maybe 30,000 crores will become existing stock itself. So you should see us, you know, maybe dropping rates, like I said earlier.
Sure. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for that, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Minhas from Prescient Cap Investment Advisors, LLP. Please go ahead. Sonal, the line for you has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Hi, sir. This is Sonal Minhas. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, Sonal. Hi.
Yes. Hi, sir. Sir, again, great set of numbers on the deposit side. I think that's been like the standout trend for the last 4-5 years. And thanks for including disclosures on the NPA side as well, segment-wise. I just had an observation on the same slide number 42. Our slippages have been in the range of 2.75 on annualized basis, 3%. The NPAs, as we see, are between 1.5 to 2%. So I just wanted to understand subjectively which segments are we slipping more? Are we putting some speed breakers among these segments, specifically mentioned in slide number 42? Anything subjective commentary on that would be really useful. Thanks a lot.
I don't know the specific slide on hand right now that I'm referring to, but let me just take a question generically.
See, the question is, where are we slipping more? I think that's where.
No, that's fine. So, see, there are some businesses. See, first of all, the blend of our slippage on a net basis used to be about 2% on a net basis. You know, we always have we always have gross, we always have, you know, recoveries, we always have a net. So that's like 2% odd.
Yeah, 1.8.
1.8% right now, but maybe 2. We are quite comfortable with 2 also. And, you know, if you know, since you know you provide for about 70%, 70% of that 1.8 becomes, you know, 2 becomes like 1.4-ish. you guide for 1.6. So you think of it like that. Usually, obviously, needless to say, your home loans will slip the least. Your home loans will probably slip the least because, you know, they just the nature of that, the cash flow assessment and customer profiles are obviously are of a higher income profile. The more you go down the pyramid in the customer income profile, like your, you know, two-wheeler financing or let me say consumer durables, etc., you'll have higher slippages, higher credit cost. But we think of it in a very risk, in a very disciplined manner. We don't want to, we just don't want to run any one business that really outstrip the whole book, or we're not so greedy about income to post, etc., all that stuff. So we want to be disciplined. We have a particular mix we play to. That mix has been very stable for long periods of time. And, you know, as a combination, we are quite confident that this number, while we talk about gross NPA 1.38, net NPA 0.44, think of it, we'll maintain it. And if an odd month it goes up, nothing ever stays stable forever. You know, 130 can become 140, can become 145, God knows. But, you know, it's never going to become 2% or 2.5%. They will not give you those kind of shocks. It won't happen. I mean, it'll be like in that zone. You know, it'll just meander. Because it's not going to come down also forever. Because, you know, it's come down sharply. But think of it like stabilizing from here on those fronts.
And just to add, as you would have seen, that slippages have slightly come off. But there is also, in terms of credit cost, there's also a function of recovery, right? So while you may not have slippages, right, with sort of increase, but we are seeing that we had slightly higher recoveries in last couple of years, including the current year, which came from a COVID book, right?
So mean COVID book, meaning the book that got charged off during COVID, does not mean the provision taken for COVID is reversing. That's not that. Just the book that we talked about for the policy, we're getting recovery. We were getting recovery from that, not now.
So as some of this is tapering, you are seeing some normalization of credit cost.
Yeah, understand that. And so this is a request. You've been brilliant in your disclosures and your deck as well. Typically, like good banks, like I've seen in their decks, they have a good opening, closing schedule of NPAs where you add back slippages, where you have technical write-offs, you have provisions, all of that in a single slide. I understand you started, I think, reporting the gross slippages as a footnote. If there's a schedule of the NPA at the opening closing level, which is like, I think, pretty standard for good banks, if you could include that in the deck, that would be great. That's just a small thing from my side.
No, we'll definitely do that.
Sure. Thanks a lot from my side. Thank you.
But on slippage, things are, pretty good. So, for example, you know, just one point I want to explain to you, for example. So, if you see one of our slides, we have disclosed now for 24 months in a row, we have given our collection percentage. Now, you see the number of 99.5 there.
Mm.
Now, frankly, that number is a very important number because, you know, if you keep 99.5, you're only going to have 0.5 slip over to the 0 to 30, 31 to 1 to 30, because that's 0 to 30, so 31 to 60, and the next bucket. So that 99.5 is very important. But if you see the 99.5, it is a composition of many products, which is coming as composite one item. You know, you could go to two-wheeler financing, you'll see it at 99. If you see for consumer durables, you'll probably see it at 99 point something. If you see that for home loan, probably it'll be 99.7. So the composite comes to 99.5. So the products which are running 99 and not 99.5, they will have a credit cost of maybe 3%, while a home loan will have credit cost of probably, 0.1% or something. So the blend is what eventually becomes the credit cost, and that we told you 1.65. We're quite comfortable with it. Don't worry about it. Except, you know, I'm saying this now so that you all can expect it from us properly. I don't want to, I wanted to be aware and comfortable with it that Q1, Q2, because of the way the flow plays out, because I don't know if you remember or not, a couple of quarters ago we pointed out that we moved over to a 90-day NPA recognition. We were earlier 91 days because of some technicality. And therefore the cycle works up in such a way that in Q1 and Q2, and also because of the FLDG matter I talked about, you will see a relatively higher credit cost, nothing like out of the ordinary, but just to tell you relative. And Q3, Q4, you will actually see it, flattening it out. So by Q3, Q4, what will happen? Income also will grow up because the book would have grown. The credit card liabilities would have happened. Q3, Q4, credit cost will come down. So that's why we are pointing out the fact that expect moderate performance from us on a PAT front next couple of quarters. Q3, Q4 expect better from us. And also, let me also point out to you that the core fundamentals meaning the liability growth, deposit growth, NPA, asset quality, all that are the core, those are the input parameters, that will be very strong every quarter from now on for 4 quarters.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thanks a lot, sir, for a detailed explanation. Thank you. Look forward to speaking more.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Folks, it's been a long time. Can we close the meeting, guys?
Sure, sir.
Yeah. Or anybody else?
So we have one question from the line of Mr. Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities.
Okay.
Please go
ahead. Yes, sir. Hi, sir. Thanks. We will close, sir, after this question. It's not a question. Actually, just a small clarification. You also, I think, clarified in part, but I think for the benefit of all, if you can, suggest that this quarter we had a credit cost of 1.5%. Now we are saying that, for the next 2 quarters, it may go a little up, maybe 1.65% for the full year FY25. But in the second half, FY25, it should decline, right? So mathematically, it looks like that first half FY25 could have slightly higher slippages. Of course, a part of this could be normalization, but is that the understanding, right, that the credit cost may go up, but then it will come down in the second half? Just a small clarification. Thank you.
Yeah. See, the thing is, first of all, it's not like any slippage issues or nothing like that. Just be aware that want to take you back a little in time. If you notice, any bank has to disclose gross NPA, net NPA. We take it 5 steps back. We are showing the credit underwriting norms. Then we are showing collection check bounce. Then we are showing a trend, full trend of 24 months of collection percentage. Then we are showing our SMA. Then we are showing the full feeder that is coming into the NPA. Then we are showing product-wise NPA. So you can see the full chain transparently end-to-end at our bank. You just don't have to see the NPA. Okay, that's number one. Now, in this flow, therefore, to your question, so our Q1 and Q2, the reason I told you, right, the technicality of the 1991 day, etc., and also Chennai, there was this floods. So on the JLG portfolio, the flow was relatively higher, but that's already started normalizing. But to some extent, you will see, let me say a portion of that coming through in the Q1. But these are like normal cycles that happen, and flood can happen somewhere and people can pay and they can pay later. So some of these could be the, not good, these are the reasons that you will find some technicality. But therefore by Q3, Q4 anyway, like we said, if the fundamentals are strong and flows are strong meaning the collection percentage continues to be like this, nothing will happen. The Q3, Q4, nothing will happen. Meaning by Q3, Q4, you will see some normalization. And you will see FLDG being absorbed by partners, by the FLDG partner. So therefore, Q3, Q4 will look good. And Q3, Q4 will not look like horrible and things like that. Just be a little more elevated. But nothing that will disturb you so much, anything like that.
Understood, sir. Sir, that is very, very helpful. We will close this call. If you have any closing remarks to make, please.
Sudhanshu, any closing remarks?
No, thank you, everyone, for coming on a Saturday. The call went for almost 1.5 hours. Thank you for being patient. And have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. And, this is a full 5 years. The merger happened in December of 18. So March 31, 2019 was the first financial closing. So this is exactly 5 years. You've been very patient with us, I must say, very, very patient. I don't know, we've enjoyed a lot of your goodwill, and we want to, even when numbers are like really bad, not just the bad loans, our operating profits are very bad initially for the first 2 years. You know, you supported us even then. We feel that we thank you for that, and we feel that, you know, next 2, 3 years, 4 years, if we stay steady, we will live up to our we'll live up to your goodwill and trust.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. Bye.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.